How'd you get into the controller creation business? How does one get into the controller creation business?
This was during the year of 2008. While I was in college upstate in Utica at the time. It was during my last year. And one day, there was this game, Street Fighter IV was announced at the time, so it was going to be coming out next year of 2009. So one day I just brought a controller. I wanted to play with it on the PC, but unfortunately it didn't work. So I got a little bit frustrated at that point, and I decided to make my own controller from there. But part of it was also during, I hope you don't mind if I say it, but during an acid trip I took.
Mm-hmm. Good. So, tell me.
And one day I was just, while I was on it, I just drew up a bunch of ideas to just create a arcade controller. I've always played with it when I was a kid back then. And since then, like, I wanted to recreate that whole feeling, that whole arcade feeling again. So, like, I decided to make one that, you know, would work for the PC at that point. So, and since then, it just grew. I just did a lot of research from this forum called showyoucan.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fighting game forum. And they had like an abundance of information out there. So I just started researching. I guess it was more of a, like a self-interest sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It just manifested upon me.
Cool.
So
what was your electronics background before then? Did you have any, or...?
No, nothing prior to it. I didn't have any electric background to it. My major was business administration.
quite a turn, you know.
What? Right, like we don't usually tend to stick to our majors whenever we graduate and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more something that I was very interested in. I wanted to be in the video game industry as well, and it was just something that just manifested upon me, and I just liked doing it. So
what do you think makes your controller special? Like, what do you think makes yours different? Because, I mean, people can go online now and get controllers
right.
from pretty much anybody. So what makes a Ben Fong controller?
Well, that is a very interesting thing. I like my controllers, I like them to be very color-coordinated and functional at the same time. Ergonomically, it should look nice, and it should perform when necessary. So, I also like talk to the people that I meet, my clients, down to like a one-on-one level to see what kind of games that they like, what kind of interests that they like, because most of the time, you know, clients that I deal with shares the same interests that I do, same hobbies, as far as fighting games, arcade games. You know, the love for, like, arcade games and whatnot.
So, you're starting to get yourself set up on Instagram. You're starting to get yourself out there a little bit more. So, like, what are your goals moving forward? Like, next year at this time, where would you like to be?
I'd like to expand out throughout the United States. I've been traveling around tournaments for about 8 years now, throughout different states, and I play in I meet up with all these other competitive players for fighting games. I've talked with them on a one-on-one level how they feel about how using an arcade stick would help them perform and whatnot, and I've taken all these feedback and I try to improve it upon that. So I try to customize each one of these controllers to everyone's liking at that point. If that pertains to your question, I
suppose. Sure. I gotta ask, man. Looking through some of those pictures, and I love all the controllers. Like the Spider-Man one, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, so like that one really stuck out to me. But I love these controllers that are kind of like tray tables.
Mm-hmm.
Those are insane.
Oh, the TV tray table.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, what made you even think of doing that?
I wanted something comfortable, like, for a controller. Like, for some people playing on the laps, it can be a little bit uncomfortable sometimes, because when you play with the controller, you move around with the controller.
Yeah.
It's even in the mode, you know, where you're playing a game or something. You're in a mode, and then the controller's moving on your lap and whatnot. You can't really control it. So, like, I came up with the design of using a TV dinner table where it was pretty stable, where it was good for your wrist surface, and it was very comfortable for you to play, so you could actually sit down and actually enjoy playing with it. Like, it was, it made you comfortable using it, basically. And I wanted the fact that it was just something I just came up with. It was just very, very, you know, I wanted some people to relax when they play. So, that makes sense.
Absolutely. So, we're talking now, like, creativity, like, with the TV tray table and stuff like that. But, I mean, you talked about, like, getting to know your clients on a one-on-one basis and all these things. Like, take me through, like, you meet somebody, they tell you that they want a controller. What's the creative process after that? How does it all go down?
Well, I'd like to know, like, what kind of art style that they did, like, you know, what kind of art style they like to use for the controllers. Like, the one that you mentioned, Spider-Man, for example, it represents part of them, a little bit of part of them. Like, I do the art designs, and I try to create something that, a little bit of my style. I try to create a little bit of my style that represents them, but not. I don't want to overly do it, though. But if I could design a controller, it would just sort of represent them in some sort of way. So,
what do you think is the most unique controller you've ever done?
Oh, that's very interesting. I've done a couple of these arcade controllers that uses big LED buttons. So it looks like a boombox, but it was used as a. There's this girl I met at Dowd at Williamsburg. Surprisingly, Williamsburg. Right? Like, but there was a controller I made for her. She wanted a dancing controller where she hits the button, it would project a different light on a dancing floor.
Wow.
And she knew how to program her own thing, which was really impressive, though. And basically, if you press the button, there would be a projector on the top of the. There would be a projector mounted on the top, and then there would be a dancing floor.
Wow.
And then she added all these different images on it. So I made it. There was a dancing controller I made, basically. Yeah. I have to show you the video for it one day.
Yeah, that's pretty insane. So it's like Dance Dance Revolution, but there's like a light thing going on, and.
Basically, yes. It's like a light show.
Yeah. Wow. Let's see. So we got the arcade sticks, we got the TV tray tables, we got the Dance Dance Revolution things. What if somebody came over to you and was like, listen, this PlayStation 4 controller is alright, but I was thinking of doing this and doing that, and like they gave you kind of like some improvements that they wanted to make. Is that something that you could do as well?
I'd probably take feedback, yeah, for sure. Sure, you give me a stick, like a paperclip or a string, I'll make something dynamite out of it.
So you're like MacGyver, in a way.
In a sense, you know, MacGyver or something.
So, up to this point, how many controllers have you made? Do you keep track? Do you got, like, little notches on your wall somewhere, or is it kind of like you've lost count?
I basically lost count. It's probably, I would say roughly over 500 so far this year.
Wow.
Not this year, but over the past 8 years. So, it's been a pretty long, doing a lot of them. Definitely lost track of them. So, you know, like, there's so much to do, and then, you know, like, I just, they come and go, basically.
So is this kind of like, in a way, like, is this your main way of supporting yourself, or is this kind of like fun money, like?
Well, it's a side income. I freelance it. I'd like to, you know, have it grow at this point, because I want to create hardware, like design hardware in the future, and then, you know, supply to the people and whatnot.
So is that like kind of like your goal to be like kind of like a Ori, you know, like those guys that make? I have it somewhere in this room. It's a motion activated like samurai sword for Onimusha.
Oh.
And they also make, like, the official, like, Pokken tournament controller
for Wii U. Yes.
So you want to be, like...
I have one of those, yes.
Those guys are great. Like, they make great peripherals. It's, like, H-O-R-I. I don't know if it's Japanese. It's, like, Ori or something.
Ori.
Yeah, Ori. There you go. You roll the R, the Ori, you know? But, is that, like, kind of, like, your goal to be somebody like that?
Yes. I want to do something like that. I want to just have a company out, you know, just design hardware and have people enjoy it while, you know, while it performs, it performs well and it looks aesthetic.
Okay. For people that are listening now and they're like, wow, this guy sounds like he does awesome work. I want to, like, learn more about him, but I also want to, like, know how much something like this is going to cost. Like, what would your, for, like, an average arcade stick, how much do you think that that would run? And then maybe something smaller, the tray table, like, give us some prices.
It would go around from $200 to $500 based on the parts and labor and the time put in to build these controllers. It could go from customization, wiring, art installation and designing, just everything about it, just painting, the whole process. So
I want to just
a lot of love put into it.
Go ahead.
It's an art. It's definitely an art that, you know, like I definitely like to put in, and I kind of find it very therapeutic for me well.
Sure.
But
so what do you do during the day? Like, what's your alter ego?
During the day, what's my alter ego?
Yeah, like I'm a teacher, you know. So like, what do you do during the day?
I normally do QA, quality assurance.
I got you.
That was my other job, but I those are hard. Turnaround time is pretty big on those. So, hey, puppy. but the turnaround time is the risk is a high risk of doing the QA and whatnot. So they need you for a project, and then, you know, they give you all these false promises and hopes, and then next thing you know, you work for them, and they let you go, and then you have to find another one. You have to prepare yourself for another one. And I'm kind of sick of that point, at that point, of doing that over and over again, where, you know, the nature of the business is not really stable, as I, you know, would hope it would be. So, surprisingly, yeah, as a business major, I'm doing QA for software.
Yeah. That's all right. All right, perfect world. What do you think you have to do to get this business where you want it to be?
Be very persistent, keep pushing myself out at this point, put myself out there, just show people my work, you know, see how they would, you know, how they would react to it, how the feelings towards it would be, and then build a really stable relationship with the people, you know, so... they could spread everything, you know, like they could, when they buy the product, share it to their friends, you know, through word of mouth, whatever, to the parents, to the grandma, whoever. So,
All right.
I just wanted to grow from there. And then, you know, the online thing, I'm expanding. Just keep putting yourself out there.